Welcome to installment 249 of Sefer Mitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains two prohibitions. Prohibition 246, the prohibition of stealing someone else's land, Hasagas Gvul, and prohibition 243, the prohibition of kidnapping, as mentioned in the Ten Commandments, Lei Signev. Prohibition 246 is derived from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 19, verse 14, which states, Loisasi gvul reacho, do not remove your neighbor's boundary, his landmarker. This is referring to theft of land. That the custom was that a boundary would be marked, a person's land would be marked by a certain boundary. A neighbor who wished to steal some of this land could move the boundary further into his neighbor's property, which would make his own land appear larger. This is known as Hasagas Gvul, and is a verse by the prohibited. The obvious question is, this seems to be another theft. We know that theft is forbidden by the Torah, and the Sifri asks this question. If we already have a verse to prohibit theft, why do we need a special verse to prohibit the theft of land? And the Sifri answers that both verses are needed to make the person who steals land transgress two prohibitions. For regular theft, there would be one prohibition. But for a person who steals land, he gets two prohibitions, one for theft, and a special one for Hasagas Gvul, theft of land. The Sifri asks further, does this apply both in the land of Israel and outside Israel? And the Sifri refers to the end of this verse, or further in the verse, "Benachaloscha asher tinchal ba'aretz." When does this apply? In your inheritance, which you inherit in the land. Therefore, we see that this commandment applies only in the land of Israel. Should one steal land outside of Israel, he transgresses the prohibition against theft. However, inside the land of Israel, such stealing of land would make the person transgress both prohibitions, theft and Hasagas Gvul, this commandment. Many commentaries tie in this prohibition of Hasagas Gvul with other sorts of infringement on another type of boundary, namely various business associations and transactions, and these are also referred to as Hasagas Gvul. It should be noted that these laws are mentioned by the Alter Rebbe in his Shulchan Aruch in a separate place, and is in fact referred to differently, Hasagas Gvul with a sin, instead of Hasagas Gvul with a samech. The law of land is included in the laws of theft, Gzela and Gneva, in the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, and there it is with a samech. But here it is with a sin, and it's included in the laws of Hefker. What sort of transactions are included in this idea? For example, one person wishes to buy an object, and him and the seller have come to an agreement on the price. Along comes a third individual and wants to buy it for a higher price and tries to outbid the first. This, says the Alter Rebbe, is prohibited. Once a price has been set, then a person that butts into the deal is called a rasha, is called wicked. The Alter Rebbe even brings an opinion that there is a chedim, an edict of excommunication from the famed Rabbeinu Gershom, that when it involves renting a housing from a non-Jew, even though no price has been agreed upon, but the one Jew has reached an agreement to rent from a non-Jewish landlord, then even though the price has not been reached, there is still a prohibition for another to infringe on this territory. Another idea governed by the same category is a person who wishes to take a job away from another. One person is gainfully employed, and a person wishes to take that job and thinks he can do a better job, can do it better than the one presently employed. In general, such an effort is also prohibited. And even when a person has a certain business associate. As Alter Rebbe brings an example of a Jew who is doing business regularly with a certain non-Jew. And it is well known that they have a good and profitable business association. There are laws regulating whether and when another person could butt into this business arrangement and start doing business with the same non-Jew. Perhaps he will take away the livelihood of the first one. One should not, of course, decide any laws based on this discussion. The laws are present in the laws in Hilchas Hefker and Asagas Gvul. All of the details, which of course we have not covered, are explicitly given there. The Tur, in his commentary, in his establishment of the Shulchan Aruch, brings another lesson from this verse about Hasagas Gvul. The verse says, Lo sasi gvul re'acha, do not take away the boundary of your neighbor, asher govlu rishenim, that earlier generations have established. The Tur tells us that this applies to any minig, a Jewish custom. Any Jewish custom which has been established, of course one that is not in violation of Jewish law, should be respected and kept. The importance of Jewish customs is stressed in many places, as has been pointed out that in many Haggadahs, including, incidentally, that of the Rambam, which is the first of the four questions, why we dip twice on Passover night at the Seder, where this is not even a biblical law, like eating matzah or a rabbinic prescription, such as eating the bitter herbs, but this is just a minhag, a custom. Why is it mentioned first? And it has been explained that Jewish customs distinguish the Jews from all other nations of the world and impress especially on children their uniqueness as a people. Therefore, we should not infringe upon those boundaries which have been set up in previous generations. Another idea which has been mentioned in this context is that there is a verse in Proverbs which states, Al tase gvul olam. Do not move the boundary which has been forever. And this is explained that one should not switch around names of different sages. If, for example, Rabbi Eliezer has said a certain law, one should not quote it in the name of another sage. And it has been explained that every statement of a certain sage has its own place in the heavenly spheres. Gvul Olam. Every sage has its own special place in spiritual realms, and therefore this law applies, the law which he said has a special connection with the spiritual world. When one switches around the name of the person who said the law, he has been masi gvul, he has changed around the boundary, changed around the spiritual place where this law applies. Prohibition 243 is the prohibition against kidnapping. And this is mentioned in the Ten Commandments in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 15, which states, Lei tignev, one should not steal. How do we know that this prohibition applies to kidnapping and not regular theft? The Rambam quotes the Mechilta, who says that this is referring to kidnapping. Although there are two verses, both of which state one shall not steal, it is explained that we have one of the 13 principles of Torah interpretation to tell us which of the two refers to regular theft and which refers to kidnapping. Dover halomid meinyono means that we learn something from its context, and therefore the context of the Ten Commandments speaks about serious capital punishment crimes, capital crimes, such as murder and adultery. Therefore, in this context, we learn that it is the more serious crime, the crime mentioned elsewhere in the Torah, that it is punishable by death. Therefore, the one in the Ten Commandments is speaking about kidnapping, and the later one about regular theft. Another verse is also mentioned in the Talmud in Sanhedrin. The verse in the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, verse 42, states, Lo yimachru min keres oved. One should not sell a Jew like a slave. And the Talmud there brings two opinions. Rabbi Yechanan says, from this verse, referring to selling a slave, we learn one must not kidnap. And what Rabbi Yoshia says, it comes from the verse we just mentioned in the Ten Commandments. However, the Talmud explains that there is no contradiction. Why does one bring a verse referring to theft and the other a verse referring to selling a slave? The Talmud explains, Loi pligi, there's no disagreement. One is referring to the prohibition of stealing, and the other the prohibition of selling. And as the Rambam explains, in order for a kidnapper to get the death penalty, both things must be done. First, the person is stolen, and later on, sold. If only one of the two is done, the person gets a prohibition. If he just sold the person, he would get that prohibition. If he just stole the person, he would get that prohibition. But no punishment of death. Is he punishable by death and specifically strangulation? When he fulfills both requirements, as related in another verse, in Exodus 21:16, v'gainiv ish u'mechorei, one who steals a person and sells him, v'nimse v'yodei, and is found in his possession, meis yumas, he should be put to death. And therefore Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Yechanan mention two different verses. One which prohibits the theft, and one which prohibits the sale. Both of them together would merit putting a kidnapper to death. This prohibition, together with its penalty, is repeated in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 24, verse 7, which begins, Ki imotze ish geinev nefesh me'echav mi'bnei Yisrael. When a person is found stealing, kidnapping another human from the Jewish people. The Baal HaTurim points out, if you take the first letter of each of these words, it will, and take the numerical value, the gematria, and add it up, it will equal Zehu Yosef. This is Yosef, referring to the incident in Chumash where the brothers of Yosef stole him, kidnapped him, and sold him into slavery. This verse is also quoted in the Piyut, part of our Yom Kippur prayers, Eila Eskera, which is referring to Yasura Harugi Malchus, the 10 Jewish sages who were killed, put to death, supposedly in punishment for the kidnapping and sale of Yosef, as referred to in this prayer. It might be pointed out, however, that not necessarily were the brothers guilty of the death penalty for kidnapping Yosef, even though they stole him and they sold him into slavery. As the Rambam mentions, this same verse says, V'hisamar be'yumachare, they must utilize him, they must do work with him, and then sell him. Only if after being stolen and before being sold, the kidnappers utilized him for some act, only then are they punishable by death. Not necessarily was this done in the case of Yosef. The details of this mitzvah are explicated, the Rambam concludes, in the Talmudic tractate Sanhedrin in the 11th chapter. Thank you for tuning in to Sefer Mitzvahs, a project of Sichos in English. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichos in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.